If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we'll read the Christmas story. The kids read a lot of it to us already, but we'll read it together from Luke chapter 2. Father, in the name of Jesus, how grateful we are to be here today. Lord, we want to celebrate everything that is about Christmas, which is you. You coming for us, you entering into this world, being sent by God to rescue us. And so today, this Sunday before Christmas, we turn our focus towards you and who you are and what you've done for us. And Lord, may you be glorified in our lives. And as we look at your word today, we ask that you would open up our heart and our comprehension that we may understand and apply what your word says to us. In Jesus' name, everybody says amen. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. I want to share a message with you this morning, a celebration of the good news. Celebration of the good news. You know, as I said last week, it's disappointing that really the only time that we talk about the Christmas story is around Christmas, because it's all part of the gospel. But how many of you would agree that we all need some good news right now? We all need some good news, as Matt pointed out. You know, there was a defense attorney who came to his client, and he said, I've got some good news and I got some bad news. The bad news is the blood test came back and your DNA is a match for a sample that was found at the crime scene. And the client was like, oh my gosh, my life is ruined. What's the good news? And the lawyer said, well, your cholesterol's down to 140. So at least you're healthy. You got your health. Doctor said to a patient, do you want the good news or the bad news? And the patient replied, I said, just give me the good news first. He said, we're naming a disease after you. Doctor says, I've got some good news and bad news. Good news is surgery went well and you're completely cured. Patient replied, man, that is awesome. The doctor says, but the bad news is you're severely depressed. The patient said, what are you talking about? I've never been happier. And the doctor said, well, your medical bill states otherwise. We would all admit that 2020 has been a year like no other, right? It's been an aggravating, confusing, heartbreaking, fearful, anxiety-producing dumpster fire of a year. Unless you're Jeff Bezos, and then he's happy that you're buying all this stuff online. COVID has produced new realities like mask wearing, lockdowns, social distancing, and of course a health crisis that none of us have seen in quite some time. The economy has been affected drastically. Our mental health has been taxed to the max. And let's just be honest, some of y'all's mental health was already on the edge. News about a vaccine has brought a little bit of hope to this headache, but then you've got people that are arguing about the efficacy of whether or not this vaccine's going to work. Our political landscape is full of division, confusion, and chaos. We seem more divided than we've ever been, and social media is ablaze with accusations and conspiracy theories. How many of you have heard about the lizard people? They live like 500 miles under the earth. They're there. Supposedly the royal line in England, they're lizard people. It's out there, people. It's out there. Posts are full of hatred and mistrust, and each side is mad at the other one. And the thing is it's not just that we disagree that each side disagrees. Each side sees each other as evil. And so good news has been hard to come by for a whole lot of people. And then on top of this, it seems like many times we're surrounded by people that almost revel in bad news. Do y'all know anybody that revels in bad news? They're almost like they're evangelists. They are the evangelists who carry the message of what is wrong with you and the world and the project you're performing and the job you're doing. Right? Y'all know anybody like that? There's a song by We As Human in the line. It uses the phrase comfortably miserable. Logan was listening to that song the other day and he's like, how can you be comfortably miserable? I said, son, there's a lot of people that are completely comfortable in their misery. Matter of fact, they're not happy unless they're unhappy. Comfortably miserable. We need good news. And so because we need good news, I present to you the Christmas story. The angels told the shepherds that they brought good tidings. Good tidings. The shepherds made it known, the Bible says, abroad. The saying which was told unto them concerning the child. They were excited about spreading this amazing news. It was good news to them. But I want to announce to you today, it is still good news to us. Because it's not just a story. It's not just an announcement of good news from long ago. But it is an ever-living, hope-bringing message of good news to everyone who will believe to this very day. You know, there's so many beautiful things about the story of Christmas. So many beautiful things about the holiday of Christmas. But when we think about what Christmas really means, God became a man. God became a baby. The most vulnerable among us. Not born of a king or a queen, but born of a carpenter and a peasant girl. Not with pomp and circumstance, but in a manger. The message came to shepherds, not to the rich and powerful. It came to pagan stargazers, not to the professionally religious. It was a real day in history, not a day in some magical, mythological story. It happened in a real city, not in Narnia or Middle Earth or in a galaxy far, far away. This was a real manifestation of the eternal plan of God for the redemption of mankind. And church, this is good news. And so really quickly here this morning, I don't want to keep you forever. You've heard some good singing. We've celebrated. But I want to tell you five things just from this Christmas story. What is the good news that we specifically see? And number one, as the angel appeared to the shepherds, the first thing they say is, fear not. If there's ever a message that we needed to hear in our day, it is this message. Do not be afraid. Now, the angels had to speak it to the shepherds to calm their fears because of their silent night had been disturbed by a heavenly announcement. I don't know about you, but if I'm just sitting quietly minding my own business, listening to shepherds baa in the background, and all of a sudden the sky lights up and an angel says, yo, I'm going to be a bit disturbed. And so the angels had to bring a little bit of a calm to the situation. Fear not. Don't be afraid. What we are about to tell you is some really good news. But you know what? I want to ask you this morning. Has your year been disturbed? Has your year been disturbed by outward circumstances, inward battles that you're fighting in your heart and in your mind? Has your life been disturbed and turned upside down by a crazy year that may not really make any sense? Some of you may have had the greatest year of your life. I don't know where you've been, but you've had the greatest year of your life. But for most of us, we've been through an up and down year. We've had situations that maybe we didn't know how to get through. We've been disturbed this year. And how easy it is in the midst of bad news to be overwhelmed with fear, to be overwhelmed with worry, to be overwhelmed with anxiety. One of the devil's greatest weapons is fear. To stop you, to keep you, to strip you of your faith, to strip you of your confidence in God's goodness. Fear is a paralyzer. It paralyzes us and it tells you that you can't. It tells you that you aren't going to make it. It tells you that you aren't good enough. It tells you that the worst is yet to come. But Christmas says, don't be afraid. The answer to where is, as I believe it was Pastor Don said, or somebody said, the answer to where is God in all of this is that we look at the manger. We look at the cross. We look at the resurrection. We look at Jesus. He is, church, Emmanuel, God with us. He has come to us when we could not come to him, and he has promised us that he would never leave us and that he would never forsake us. Jesus said, "Fear not, child of God, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." And that kingdom came in a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. The reason why I don't have to be afraid is because in the middle of darkness is when Jesus was born. In the middle of the darkest of night, in the strangest of circumstances, Jesus was born. So that tells me, no matter what circumstances I find myself in, no matter how dark my life gets, no matter how strange my circumstances are, he is still, to this day, God with us. I don't have to be afraid to face tomorrow. I don't have to be afraid to face the bad news, because the good news is greater than the bad news. God sent his son, and he's rescued our lives. The second message of this Christmas from the shepherd is great joy. Not just happiness, because happiness, as we know, is based on circumstances. We're happy because of specific situations. We are happy because of certain days. We'll be happy as we open up our gift until we see the gift. How many of you have got a good fake face for that gift that you open up and you're like, "Thank you. It's just what I wanted." I remember one time as a kid, I opened up a present before I was supposed to. And I was like, "Hey, look, Mom, we got them the same thing that they got me." And Mom's like, "That's what we bought for them. That was their present." Great joy. It's not just circumstances. It's not just situations. It's joy deep in your heart, lasting joy that is rooted in who God is. Because God sent his son, church, we can now have, the Bible says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Not joy that is defined by what's happening to me. Not joy that's defined by my physical, the way I feel physically or what I'm battling with mentally. But joy that is based solely and completely upon the reality of Jesus Christ in my life. You know, the Christmas story always reminds us that God is still in control. He keeps his promises. And he has become the God who is with us. The circumstances of Jesus' birth were not ideal. But the Bible says that Mary treasured, she pondered these things in her heart. It didn't matter to Joseph and Mary or the shepherds where or how he was born. It only mattered that he was born. The joy was not that they got to take selfies in the beautiful hotel room they were staying in. Look at this resort. Look at the jacuzzi tub. Look at the view. Their view was poop and hay. You know as well, can you say poop? Now I've said it twice. This is a complete rabbit trail, but when I was in Bible college, Brother Bender, God bless him, he's in heaven, one of my favorite teachers of all time, he taught preaching class. And you had to preach a sermon, and you got graded for it. I don't need grades from y'all. Just leave them. I don't need to know. But we got graded for it. And a friend of mine was preaching about the prodigal son. And in the sermon, he used the phrase spiritual pig poop. So when he got his review back from Pastor, from Brother Bender, it said, "Do not use the word poop behind the sacred desk," is what it said. So I'll say it out here. But you can imagine if they would have taken pictures, they would have had to filter, wouldn't they? They had to get all those filters out, right? It wasn't ideal, but the joy wasn't based upon where they were. The joy was based simply upon the fact that God had sent his son. Something miraculous, supernatural, history-changing, life-changing, world-changing had happened in that manger. So let's be honest, life can weigh heavy on us. Circumstances can seem overwhelming, but the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. the message of great joy. Number three, it is the message of Advent. Christmas is called Advent season because God sent His Son. He came down from heaven to earth as a man. This is one of the greatest revelations of Christmas, that God has come to us and for us. That Jesus is not just a man. He's not just a moral teacher. He's not just somebody that we can emulate. He is God in human flesh. But the first Advent reminds us of the hope of a second Advent. The miracle of the incarnation reminds us of the miracle of Christmas. And the miracles continued through the life of Jesus. And the miracles continued in His resurrection. And the miracle continued in His ascension back to heaven. But oh, there is a second Advent. He is coming again. And we look to that as our blessed hope. So the first Advent reminds us of a second Advent. We don't just celebrate that God has come into the world. We celebrate the fact that Jesus is coming again. The same God that promised He would come in the past is the same God that will fulfill His promise, and He will come again in the future. Amen. God is the God of His word. He keeps His promises. Jesus will return and receive all those who believe unto Himself. Christmas reminds us, folks, that no matter how bad it gets here, there's always hope in the promise of God. There's always hope in God's promise. There's always hope in God's word. And not only that, no matter how bad it gets here, there's always hope of an eternal future that is found in the fact that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are not citizens of this planet. We are citizens of another place. Heaven is real, and we celebrate the reality of this because why? Hope is a powerful thing. It burns brightly. It burns brightly at Christmas. 400 years of silence, the Jews had waited, and in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made of the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because Jesus has come into this world, we celebrate the reality. It's not a mythological fairy tale. It's real. But because He kept His promise then, He will keep His promise again. And if you're not ready, let Christmas time be a time that you are reminded there is another Advent. There is another coming of Christ. It is a message of Advent. Number four, it is the good news of salvation. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is the message of the gospel. The good news, folks, is so good because the bad news is so bad. We are sinners. We have committed sins. And we cannot escape this. I was discussing with Avery the other evening the concept of sin. Some of you are already laughing. Discussing with Avery the concept of sin. I think it's important for us to understand that it's near to impossible to repent of sin unless we understand how bad sin is. Right? It is the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. But it is His goodness that reveals to us our sin. So I'm talking to Avery about sin, and I said, Avery, lying is a sin. And Avery said, well, everybody does that. That's a good point, son. That's why we need a Savior. Because all of you are liars. According to Dr. Avery. I did tell him you shouldn't lie, but I mean, I can't disagree with him. We're all sinners. That's not always the best thing to hear. That's not what you hang on your refrigerator, is it? Good morning, honey. You're a sinner. If you're writing notes to your beloved, good morning, honey. I love you. There's some food in the refrigerator, and by the way, you're under the wrath of God. We don't normally say those kind of things, but this is the reality. This is the reality. That sin has separated us from God. It has left us hopeless to save ourselves. We are under wrath. But God so loved the world that He gave. God so loved the world. Folks, Jesus being sent by God. It's not just a fuzzy story that we're all supposed to feel warm about on the inside. Jesus left glory because sin was that serious. Look at the cross. Look at the beatings, the whipping, the suffering, the brokenness. That's how ugly sin is. It's not that big of a deal. It's so big that God became a man to redeem us. Jesus came to save sinners, to rescue the perishing. This is the message of the gospel. Salvation is not found in what we do, but in who He is. He is the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the shepherd, or the angel said to the shepherds. There is no greater message. There is no message that is more important than the gospel message that we all must consider. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy New Year. Drink your eggnog because there's something wrong with you. But the most important message that you must hear is Jesus came to save. We need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. That Savior is not me. That Savior is not your good deeds. It's not your ability to clean yourself up. It's not your ability to do all that you can to make yourself better. Jesus did not come to make you be better. He declared a death sentence over your life and then resurrects you a brand new person. The gospel message is a message of good news. It is a message of salvation. And finally, a celebration of good news. It is the good news of peace and goodwill. The message of Christmas is really twofold. First of all glory goes to God. All glory goes to God. This was His plan. This is the manifestation of His heart towards us. When there was no way, He made a way. When we could not get to Him, He came to us. As I said last week, we cannot know Him unless He takes the initiative to reveal Himself to us. We cannot come to Him unless He opens the door and becomes the door for us to be able to enter in. Salvation is of God. It was not just your choice. It was His choosing. It was His calling. It was His conviction that drew you to the cross. All glory goes to God. And secondly, peace on earth to men. But this peace is not just something that we stir up in ourselves. This peace is a result of the grace of God. It says peace and goodwill to men, the King Jimmy says. But if you look at the Greek, it tells us that it is God's peace upon those of whom they have found favor with God. So this peace is not a product of something I can stir up. It is totally and completely a product of grace. It is not just random goodwill. It is not just random favor that God is, because there is a thing called common grace that God bestows upon all of mankind. It rains on the just and the unjust. But this special favor, this goodwill, this peace is only a result of those who have believed on Jesus Christ. This peace is offered to all, goodwill to all men, but it is only upon those whom His favor rests. It's only upon those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. Listen, during this Christmas, with all of its hurriness and all of its burdens and all of the stuff that you've got to get done and everybody that you've got to make happy and all the things that you're trying to do to just make Christmas so perfect, the greatest peace is when our souls find rest. When the chaos and the fear and the insecurity of our hearts are swallowed up by a faith-filled confidence that we are right with God. Amen. Listen to me. If you've heard anything that I've said this morning, please hear this. There is no true peace as long as there is uncertainty in our hearts in our relation to God. I don't care how quiet your home is. I don't care how you can fix all the things around you to make it look perfect. There is no true peace as long as there is uncertainty in our hearts in our relation to God. It has to begin here. This is not a peace that can be found in the world. Jesus said, I give you my peace. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. Then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's not as the world. See, the world promises us temporary reprieve. Temporary reprieves of conflict before the next one arrives. Don't we go from conflict to conflict, problem to problem? It's a temporary reprieve. It's just a stop, a moment in time where we have peace. This is not a peace that looks to external help to calm our restless hearts. We're not looking for outside things to calm our minds. Just a little stimulus to take the edge off. I just need some help to get the edge off. This is not a peace that's found by a passing moment. This is a peace that is produced by the grace of God, knowing that it is finished, not that it still needs to be completed. It is finished, not that it needs to be completed. This is a peace that rests in who Jesus is and what he has done. And so the Bible tells us that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How do you know this peace? You let the Prince rule your heart. Christmas is good news. And folks, it's worth celebrating. It's worth celebrating every year. In the hustle and bustle of the season that gets so caught up in the consumerism and the hype of the season, remember why we celebrate. Jesus was born. Everything has changed and everything can change. We've said that many times. And we can celebrate the God who is with us. The God who tells us that we don't have to be afraid. The God who promises us soul-felt joy. The God who drew near to us in the middle of our mess and promises to return again. The God who saves us and the God who fills us with grace-produced peace. It truly is good news we're celebrating. It is good news we're celebrating. The bad news is that we are lost and we need a Savior. But the good news is, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly with the angel, there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Bow your heads with me here this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful for Christmas. We're grateful for what it represents. We're grateful, O Lord, that you did not leave us alone. You didn't leave us in our darkness. But for a matter of fact, you sent your Son into our darkness. You did not leave us alone in our sin, but you sent him to take our sin. You didn't leave us alone in our chaos, in our uncertainty, in the striving of our heart to find peace. Instead, you became our peace. Christmas is such an awesome time. Remind us, Lord, in the middle of all of it, that you are still the Savior, that you still are coming again. There is hope. There is great joy in you that we do not have to be afraid, for Christ is with us. Speak to hearts this morning. Speak to families during this season. Lord, turn our hearts to you, not just at Christmas, but as we come to the end of a crazy, chaotic year. Help us look forward to 2021, not with fear and uncertainty, but with hope and peace, knowing that God, our lives are in your hands. So come, Lord Jesus, be Emmanuel in our hearts. Be born in us again, we pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed here this morning, I would wonder if there's someone in here today that maybe has not made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. You are not at peace with God. You're not at peace with God. you're wrestling, uncertain of where you stand with God. Maybe at one time you had a relationship with Jesus, but you've lost and compromised some of your convictions. You've fallen in to fleshly desires and the pull of the world. Something has stripped you of your faith, your confidence. There may be some of you in here today that are living a double life. You know how to put on the Christian mask, but underneath, there's turmoil. Underneath, you're living outside of God's will for your life. And I'm asking you today, will you make things right with God? Are you really at peace? Jesus came in a manger, but folks, he is going to return for those who are not a stranger to him, to those who know him. Do you know him? Does he know you? What are you hiding today? What are you hiding? Because the light of the world is here. Don't be afraid. Let him rescue your heart. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm asking you to consider where you stand with God today. The greatest gift you could give to your family, the greatest gift you could give to your children, your spouse, to your parents, is a life that is right with God. And if you're in this room today and maybe you just need some good news, bad news has just been pouring on you, and you're tired of carrying the weight, and you need help, and you need strength, and you need God's peace, and this altar is open for you. I'll pray with you, or you can come and kneel at this altar. But let's take this moment of Advent season to give our hearts to Jesus, that our hearts would become the manger that Jesus Christ can enter into our lives.